Yes.
Let's just get into that.
I'll cover a bit about myself. I've been a Samba team member for a year now, so probably if you have been at last year's conference, you probably, well, you had the opportunity to see my talk about getting Outlook run in Wine. This time I'll have a genuine Samba talk. Yes, Samba 4 as a member server is not a scenario that's working right now, but it's obviously on the plan for the first beta, which should be out, as we heard, at the end of some year. The basic how to make it work is, well, mostly concerning how to make the things work that could theoretically work right now. And I'll also go into what's not working so far. So, yes, I've been brought into all this mess by Google, actually. I participated in the last Summer of Codes as a student. I've been a Wine developer since I started doing Summer of Code for Wine in 2005. And because I stumbled into Samba right at the beginning and kept bumping into them because of the work I was doing in Wine, I ended up doing a Summer of Code for Samba in 2007. And somehow I got stuck again, being a Samba team member now, which is why I decided to just quit doing Summer of Code as a student, because I don't have the time for any more projects to work on. So basically, why Samba 4 as a member server? Of course, I can give the genuine open source answer, which is, why not? I mean, we could possibly do it, so why not do it? Well, in the long run, of course, we want to replace Samba 3 with Samba 4, so we need all this file and print service stuff that everybody is talking about, and people seem to be using that, I don't know. And of course, because we can. It's open source after all. Well, does it work already? Yes, sort of. It works unless you try something fancy. Like, for example, as of today, listing groups doesn't work yet, but I mean, that might be a week's worth of coding and debugging to make that work. So that's one of the missing features, but the basic functionality is there, and I'm pretty positive that, well, with 1 month more time discussing this, re-implementing it, but we should be able to get to some point where it's actually usable. So with the recent changes and people talking all about this Git stuff, I thought I might just get into how to get Samba 4 as a member server from scratch. So the first thing you'll have to do is to install Git, to clone the Samba tree, to check out Samba 4, and then you have the source. So basically it works like that, at least on my system. I just wanted to put the command line for installing Git in there because I know that people keep bumping into trying to install Git, which is some GNU something whatever tool, which doesn't quite actually do what you expect when you type Git. Git clone is, that's just nice because it will get you all Samba versions you ever wanted or not wanted to have. And then you need to check out, I used V4 tests in my example. You might want to use the for testing some installation, you might want to stick to the stable branch just because it changes less frequently. So we get more. Well, you once in a while you push a release.
It's the same as the tarballs.
Yeah, right. I just mentioned test because that will give you the latest, greatest version of Samba 4. So preparing the build, so installing Samba is really, really easy thanks to all the changes Yelma made. So basically, you just need to prepare the build as you always need to do if you get a checkout from the source repository. Then you can just do configure, make install, and you're there. Well, you need to provision, but we'll get into that. So provisioning is different for Samba 4 member server. In some points, As you can see, we recently switched to Python for the provision script. And last time I tried it, just running the provision script didn't work. But probably this is just me failing to install the Python modules correctly. There is a workaround, though. So I thought I'd just mention that to other people bumping into the same issue. You can just call SMB Python, which is a Python binary we ship, that works. So you set up the provision, you set up the realm, you set up the domain. Server role is domain member, obviously. And you have to set up an administrator password. Then you can just go on and actually join the domain. This is pretty much the same as for Samba 3, just that the syntax is slightly different. You get to change some things if you push out a new version and break some scripts to make sure people notice that they really got a new version. I mean, you just have to do that. So NetJoin so far takes, the domain, obviously. And then you have to decide if you want to be a backup domain controller or a member server. I haven't tried the backup domain controller thing. Does it work?
Well, it doesn't actually make you a BDC, but it makes that type of account.
Well, okay.
So it's a few things in there should be fixed up to make it clear what's becoming a new domain controller, because it'll just make the account for being a DC, but won't do any of the actual work. So a member server is also the default, I think.
Okay. So anyway, this one just works nicely. You need to specify an account that's allowed to add machines to the domain, obviously. But just doing that will make you a member server. So basically, that's it. This will give you a couple of features I've been working on. So I just felt like mentioning them here. We can do user lookups and, in theory, group lookups as soon as I get around to hook them up to WinBind. We have ID mapping now, which has been quite some effort based on the fact that of the 5 developers of Samba 4, there are about 12 different opinions on how to do ID mapping. We just settled for one that's going to be there until somebody else decides to fix it. Whatever. NSS WinBind isn't quite there yet, mostly due to the fact that group lookups don't work yet, so getEnd isn't too happy if you try to do an LS or whatever. As I said, fixing the group lookups will probably fix that one. Some more tests needed, but I expect that to work by next month. So I thought we'll just give WinBind a small test. And as I haven't been able to get my shiny new Hardy box to run any sort of virtual machine with network support, I decided to try and just demo that from our brilliant test system. So,
on the next virtual
okay. So that's so basically, let's see if I can probably make this a bit bigger. Okay, that should be fine for everybody, right? So what we just do is we call our make script and let it create a test environment. What does this mean? Test environment for Samba 4 right now creates, provisions a Samba 4 domain server, domain controller, sets that up with a fake network interface, and then provisions a Samba 4 member server, also hooks that up to this fake network interface, and will allow them to talk to each other. So it can provision the member server, and then it will pop up with an xterm with all the environment variables set to what we need. So Oh, as you can see, it really is our make script. So obviously, Andrew changed something. Let's see if it works. I know it worked in my box. Looks good. So as you can see, it will set up the domain controller.
Is it part of every source tree, this kind of
make file? It's part of our Samba 4 sources. It hasn't been ported to Samba 3 yet, though I'd like to have it there. So the domain controller has come up. As you can see, the name lookup's working. We're now starting the member. And there we go. I probably should have taken a different terminal. Let's try that again. You have a GNOME terminal running here, right?
GNOME terminal doesn't work for this.
It doesn't? Okay.
No, if you try and run GNOME terminal, it exits too early. It only works with external.
I'd probably be able to make do with my laptop better then, because I managed to make it work in the K term and I can blow up the font like that. Do you have K term installed?
No. Other than that, we can peer into a little box.
That's
small. It's not that small on the screen.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Font dialog.
Oh, okay.
Then you can go to the huge font.
It's been ages since I last had to use Xterm for anything real.
What more do you want? The control right mouse button.
Yep.
Is it down?
Okay.
Biggest one. That's it.
Ah, great. Yay! Perfect. So as you can see, we have a couple of nice setups that the test environment set up for us. So we have a domain that's set up. We have a DC. We have a DC user with his password, and we have a local user with his password. They're both administrator, because that's the user you have to create. And now we can do some nice little things like let's just list all the users we have in the domain. WBinfo is a nice tool that also is there in Samba 3, and I've used it extensively for testing all this WinBind stuff. So it will give you a list of all the users in the domain, which is not very interesting because right now we just have local users. This is actually not the thing that's interesting about member service, but let's just add a new user to see that actually works. So we've added a new user, and we can now try to do something more interesting. I'm just adding a new user because typing administrator all the time gets a bit boring. WBinfo does lots of things, but I'll just go up here because that's the more interesting ones. So the main users, we have seen that one. The following few don't quite work yet, but the interesting stuff I've been working on the last month is the name mapping. So all this name to, not the name mapping, the user ID mapping. So I can convert SIDs to user IDs and back, which allows me effectively to, when I have a file server, to just allow the whole setup to create files in the local box and have that look the right way. So I'm able to use Unix permissions for my NT users, which is nice because the way the ID mapping is set up, we can actually get by creating, if we use WinBind for the domain controller, we can get by with a database that allows us to add Samba-only users. So we don't have to add people to the local etc passDB, but we can just add them to Samba. And on the next step, so if they want to log in or create files or whatever, IDMap will just map their names so their SIDs to user IDs and group ID. I think that's pretty much the same design as likewise presented before. We have a small twist to that because we decided that basically we don't care about users versus groups in Samba. I mean, in Active Directory, a SID is a SID, and if that's a user or a group, it's just, I mean, you don't really need to differentiate there. We can just say, okay, we want this SID able to do that on this file or whatever. So no need to decide if that's a group or not. So for our ID mapping, we actually, let's just do that. So I just, to get started, look up the SID of user foo, which is obviously a user, as this thing can tell us. And I now want to... want to convert the SID to a user ID, so other way around. So it mapped my user to user ID 10,000, which is in our default setup, the first user ID we can allocate for WinBind. The logic works pretty similar to what Samba 3 does, just that we only have one ID, and we now give that to both user and group of that user. So if we, instead of saying minus S for the group, for the user, say minus Y for getting a group ID out of that, it maps to the same. Of course, we could do that on the fly and try to make that work just by, we allocated for that one, we allocated for that one. But actually, we only have one entry in the IDMap database for that one, which allows us for more complicated access control lists to just add either a user or a group, depending on the semantics of the special access control list we're trying to work with. So if we want to have a group, we pretend the user is a group, and it still will work. That does give it, yes?
Is there any limitation to the number of groups and users that can be created? And what will happen if somebody comes and deletes your user with the ID 1007? So
the 1007 is just the read part of the SID, right? So I mean, we just created a mapping for this specific SID to that Unix ID.
But it has to exist or before you create the mapping. And
I can just make up one so far. I mean, we want to add an option later to just, let's say, allow mappings for trusted domains or whatever. So we check if the SID was actually valid. But I can just say, something like that, and I've got a new user mapping. Group mapping in this case, but it doesn't matter because it's the same user ID.
Or just Unix asking ID. Because until recently you had to create manually a Unix user and group
yes.
Before mapping.
Yes, this is the big change I introduced, and that was the thing that actually, I think, created most of the discussion we had about this. The change now is that we don't have to have any sort of Unix user that maps to any sort of Active Directory user at all. The only exception to this being administrator. But as far as I understand, that's just to make test work, because we could do without that, because in a normal use case, Samba will run as root, but in make test, of course, Samba will run as my user ID, as the current user. In order to make the tests for permissions work, where we try this with administrator, we have to map the administrator, because we can't change the user ID of files we want to access. But that's like the only mapping you need. And for a production server, this will map to root. You could possibly remove that and just have the ID mapping automatically create a new mapping. So basically, we're limited to the number of mapping of user IDs Unix allows. So 32-bit or, well, maybe in future, 64-bit. So this will keep up a while. The default setting will limit you to 10,000 mappings, but that's just...
Not anymore?
Okay.
Starting at 3 million, going to 4 million.
Okay. Whatever. I just didn't update. Anyway, that's easy. You can set that yourself in the ID map database. So it's not in the config file anymore. It's in the ID mapping database, because we figured let's just keep all the data together. Let's do some other fun things. Basically, we can try this the other way around, right? So let's see if we can actually look up the SID for user 10,000. Okay, so as you can immediately see, SIDs are almost as easy to remember as IPv6 addresses. This is the same SID, so the mapping works.
Can you show the database?
Yes.
Or just LDB search, just to dump it.
True. So, so as the database more or less looks like this. So we have a user ID. Oh, we actually create a couple of mappings on provisioning. So this is our most important record. It will specify the lower and upper bound for the ID mapping. It keeps the high water mark of the allocations we have. And that's the one that will get read when we want to do anything with the user mapping, like creating new records, stuff like this. This one is a static group mapping for domain users, I think. 513? That one? Well, it maps to user ID or group ID 100 in this case. An easy way to recognize the mappings we create on startup is that type is either ID type user ID or ID type group ID. ID mappings created by the ID mapping code itself is ID type both. This is an option that allows us to stay compatible with data we can import from Samba 3. Because if we're coming from Samba 3, there's no guarantee that the group and the user ID will be the same. So looking this up from the, I have a group ID and I want to look up the SID, we have to take into account that this was a user a group ID if we want to be reverse compatible to Samba 3. For our own things, we just say we have a Unix ID, and that's whatever we want it to be. Here's the ID map for the 1007 RID, which maps to 10,000. This is the other one I created. That's like all the magic there is. After spending so much time on this, it's kind of a bit depressing to see that it only amounted to about 500 lines of code. But I've kept rewriting that one quite often, so it used to be more than that. So just to make sure that this whole thing actually works, let's have a look at mapping so this is a local Unix user, and we want this to map back to the administrator SID, so the 500. This works. But this user being of type user ID, we can't map that one back to the same SID, because we only map this one to a user from a user ID. What we do on the fly is instead to create, we have two separate domains that I think are Volker's fault, to just continue the usual blame it on Volker session, which is a local Unix group. So it's 1.22.2 is local Unix groups. We can do the same trick for number 99. I don't know, let's try this for a group. So I can map group 100 back to the 513 RID group, so that one works, but this just being a group doesn't work for the user. So it's 1.22.1, which is local Unix users. This is just to make, for example, if you connect to a file server and there's files in the directory that are owned by local Unix users that are not mapped to anybody in the Active Directory, to just be able to show some sort of a SID, so we have a return type. But trying the same thing for the user we created, this gives us back a SID. And if we want to look up the group, this gives us the same SID. So without having to do any extra effort, we can use it either as a group or as a user. In combination with not requiring mapping to a local Unix user anymore, we basically have a local Samba user database we can even use on the domain controller. Well, yeah. That's about most of the funny things we can do with the ID mapping. So there's some work left to do. Andrew mentioned it before. We now have improved Clutch ACLs that will actually allow users to read the configuration only instead of changing it, while allowing administrator to actually change everything in there, which is nice as a first step, but obviously it's not going to work for real life setup. So we need a better solution for that one. And as Andrew mentioned, we definitely think that patches to this area are highly welcome. Just jump into it, and well, you're probably only going to have it write that twice or something like that. That's print services. I mentioned that before. People seem to want that once in a while. We certainly don't do this yet. This was due to the fact that our spools IDL file wasn't that great. PFIF fixed that one. Now we just need somebody to work on this. Printing certainly is a fun area. Just ask Jerry about that one. Patches welcome. Caching and offline mode is certainly something that's going to be interesting for domain member servers, but they're not critical. Unless you count installing Samba 4 WinBind on your laptop and not being able to log in anymore once you pluck off the network cable or wireless fails as critical. But, well, yeah, definition of critical. So we certainly need a Intro 3 structure caching, which is basically all the information there is about the user, which is a subset of the SAMDB. We're probably, once we figured out how to do the replication we want to do, just also for a member server to read-only replication of the SAMDB, which also allows us to cache lots of other lookups, like sit to name and name to sit lookups, which probably will make a difference once we use Samba in a highly clustered environment, because if a user does an LS for the whole cluster, we don't want all of the cluster to go and hit the domain controller for lookups for names and stuff like this. We're currently working on that one. At least I'm trying to work on that one. We'll see how that will turn out. So in summary, we're still doing better as an active domain controller in Samba 4, but we're certainly trying, and this should be ready in 6 to 18 months. Oh, no, wait, sorry. That's my wine pitch. We'll see when that will turn out, right? Well, thanks for your attention. Any questions?
I'm just running at the moment. Just found a sick fault. So looking at fixing. That's great. That's really good to get that going. The trusts is one that's interesting with WinBind, with trusted domains, and whether there are multiple trusted domains and bringing in foreign SIDs and things. Have you thought about that at all?
To make WinBind only map for trusted users, is that what you...
Well, or? It does it do the mappings and forward the credentials appropriately to the trusted domains and talk to the trusted domain controller and get... and so WB Info minus U, will that show all the users from the trusted domains at the moment?
I don't think so, but I'll have to look at the code again.
Yeah. That was an area that got quite tricky with foreign... with what to do, because then particularly knowing whether it's a user or a group, but maybe just the ID type both will solve that. But there was always a problem in Samba 3 with SIDs from trusted domains and what happens when you can't contact the domain controller and you can't look up what type of SID it is. But, we'd need to set up a trusted domain to sort of try it and see what happens.
Yeah, probably. We probably don't have one, but let me just try something else and list all the trusted domains. Because last time I tried... Oh, no, okay, it works. So Andrew fixed it. Because last time I tried this command actually failed. So I could just say, yeah, well, we just don't do trusted domain things yet. But Andrew fixed that one, so it might be worth a look. So, yeah, we... certainly need to figure out what to do if we happen to list users for a really huge domain. But yeah, that's the same problem we were running into before. So yeah. Anybody else?
Thank you very much for all the work you've been putting into, you know, kicking this along. It's
really good to say. It's important that Samba 4 can be a domain controller, but it's also important that it retains the basic functionality that people expect of out of Samba 3. And we've been neglecting that to a large degree. And so getting the basic domain membership and things, which is the bread and butter of what most people use, is really important, so you can then have Samba 4 on a wider range of the servers in your organization and have it as a member of another Samba 4 server. Samba 3 is a member of a Samba 4 domain. It's the other one that's received very little attention, but it's really quite important as well.
Well, we probably just need to fix the make test thing for that. I mean, we should be able to just make test and provision a Samba 3 member into a Samba 4 Active Directory. But that's probably Yelmer's topic. I mean, that's lots of make
that's
built system magic. is his part of the job.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Thanks very much.
Well.